Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Naked Departure Talk Show. This show is live and interactive, and we invite the audience to join the discussion. You can call into the studio by clicking on the Skype button which appears on the show page, or by calling us on 1-914-205-5805. Alternatively, you can post your questions or comments in the chat room which also appears on the show page. Thank you for tuning in. The management of Naked Departure Talk Show does not represent, endorse, or validate any views, opinions, products, or services promoted on this show.
Hello, good evening. It's Sherry Veronica. Today is September 22nd, 2016. We want to talk about black lives. I believe black lives do not matter on the whole scale of things, in the whole scheme of things. I do not believe our lives matter. I do believe that were there a catastrophe, like I spoke on another show, black people would be slated again to be slaves and to do the rebuilding, and, you know, whatever happened in the past can be easily repeated because we have not come together as a strong unit. Families are dysfunctional. People are being shot. Black men, black women are being shot. We had in today that the one of the last black men that was shot and killed in Tulsa, Oklahoma, his shooter, Officer Betty Shelby, a white woman who thought he looked dangerous. The man was stuck on the highway, had a problem with his car, had his hands in the air, and then he found himself dead. She has been indicted, she has been charged for first-degree manslaughter. That came pretty quickly because this particular shooting happened on Tuesday, so they got to charge her. So I guess she did not have no story to pull herself out of shooting a black man, which happens every day in the United States. Then we hear on our home front where there was this man who had a group and he was into sports and he took a whole set of money from a whole set of people, and people showed up at the airport to go for this particular event and there were no tickets bought, there was nothing. People were disappointed again. Black people disappointing black people. And then we have a situation in Barbados where school children prefer to ride on minibuses where they can listen to lewd music, behave improperly, swear, sit in boys' laps, and it's just a dire situation that we see. I have Pat with me in the studio, and it's something that we talk about. We cry, we grieve for young people, what we see happening with young black children. And when you see them in the United States being threatened by white cops threaten to shoot kids, black kids, if they don't do what they say, if they don't move fast enough, there is a bounty out on black people. We already know that the jails are filled to the brim with black men, young black men. So where do we go? And when I say black lives don't matter, I don't know what Pat thinks, but I think we have a long way to go to just even out this playing field so we can have real power and really walk shoulder to shoulder with the white man. Pat, welcome into the studio.
Thank you, Sherry. Good evening, listeners. It's great to be here again. Yes, Veronica, I know how you feel about black lives, and I do the same way also. I know your view, my view is, yes, black lives matter. But until we start sticking together, until we start laying the foundation and taking the power and the control away from people that we allow to have it, people like you and others will, you know, be of that view that black lives don't matter. But black lives do matter. As long as we have life, we have hope. And to hope is to aspire. But again, as we said, as I said, we're divided. And we can look around and point fingers, and we can too. But there are so many black people of, you know, prominent African, you know, people of color that have made and broke barriers in the whole, you know, I'm not just speaking about Barbados, but the whole world. But again, you know, we have to raise our youth, our kids, to take over. And that's where, you know, my heart is at, because the way that the kids are in Barbados, if we as parents, if we as elders don't corral them in and instill values in them, nothing's going to be achieved. I mean, I remember the Barbados of yesteryear, not of today. We can sit back and say, you know, that white folks own this and white folks own that. But there were prominent business people in Barbados. I remember Annie Wilson, who used to have one of the largest stores, and it wasn't in Swan Street. It was at the top of Broad Street, right, you know, very close to the Parliament building. I remember S.O. Pilgrim. That was also people of color. So, yes, prominent people of color in Barbados. I don't know why it is that their kids did not, you know, go forward. But you have to look and see. You have the Syrian Indians who come into Barbados. Back in my day, they would come around walking on foot with a valise on their head, and they would knock at the door, and they would, you know, come on Sundays when people are eating dinner. At that time, they had a name for them, calling them the coolie men, and they would come with their little valise on their head, and they'll tell you, oh, we have cheap material, you know, whatever. The next week you saw them, they had a bicycle. And the week after, then you see them again, they were on a motorcycle. Then they had got their car. Next thing you know, they had a store in Swan Street. So, yes, we have to stick together. Why is it that everyone else can stick together? We cannot continue to say that slavery is keeping us down, you know. Yes, if we look at that and we kept saying, you know, slavery, excuse me, I'm tongue-tied, I'm so passionate about this, but slavery, where would we be? We have to stop and look at ourselves. We have to look in the mirror and see if we are happy with what's staring back at us. We got to take a page out of the Jews' book. You know, the Jews were in, you know, from the days of Joseph, if the Bible is correct. When Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, he went into Egypt. And then they were enslaved. The Jews were enslaved by the Egyptians. And then they were let out and they were into the wilderness. Somehow they ended up not having their own state. And I can tell you, and you, Sherry, knows that the Jews control the United States of America. So if these people could have broken out of their bondage, why is it that we as people cannot break out the chains of slavery? So, and make sure that our lives do matter to our kids, most of all, because our kids are the leaders of tomorrow. Sherry, are you there?
Yes. When you were saying that black people have pulled out, I was thinking about that, and I was saying, well, who? I mean, yes, you can call a couple names, but like we were talking about before, yeah, when you go to Jay-Z's concerts, they're white people, and when you there was a young person that came out of Barbados, Rihanna, and we know that when she has Dior contracts and when she has her movie, we know that there are white faces behind those contracts, and that's really where those endorsement deals is where these people are making the money, and it's their white faces, and you're using. The currency is printed by white people. It's in their interest, and it's that they can devalue it. So when you talk about people pulling out of whatever poverty or whatever, and they're making it. If you're saying that money, having money in the bank is making it, okay, yes, but whose money is it? And what did they have to play the white game to make it, or are these people outspoken and saying, you know what, I want your money, but I'm going back to Africa where I came from to set up there, or I'm going back to Haiti and set up there. What are these people doing with the money? Because we find that when there's an insult, there's a bomb dropped, we know that there's a trade embargo, we know that contracts are pulled, we know that people don't want to spend, you know, white people, they're very, very quick not to want to spend money in certain areas, and they're very quick to control their money in always. Any way you can look at it, they're controlling their money, they're keeping their money with themselves and whoever else is entertaining them, because, yes, a lot of people in the entertainment industry, they're there to entertain the white man, and they're there to entertain the populace, because that is very important. You kind of keep people's vision somewhere, and then you can, other things are happening in the background because it's a diversion. So entertainment, boxing, all those kind of things are very important to keep people distracted. So when you say that people pull out and they have made it, they have come away from slavery, there's nothing different. Because there were free people, there were free men, black people during slavery, that you can say, well, they were not even slaves, so there was nothing to pull out of. But when you look at life now, you could almost see a backward slide. We're not any better, or we should be further ahead since the 60s, since everything that Martin did and Malcolm did and everyone else did. I mean, just going even further back to Tubman, I mean, there's so much further ahead we should have been. And I don't see that. I don't see us being there, and the mere fact that they can shoot a black man just because he's black, they're not shooting the Japanese, they're not shooting the Jews, no one else I'm hearing about is being terrorized, but it's happening. And even when you look at what happened in Libya with Gaddafi, anytime someone wants to do something, if they're dark-skinned, they have a problem on their hands. So maybe we do not want to think about slavery as such, but maybe if we really understood where we stand now in the world, and we can give it a name, we can say, well, this is what is happening now, and we don't want to be here. We no longer want to be on this particular precipice. We don't want to be in this particular section of community. We don't want to be categorized and put here. We want to rub shoulders with the white man, power for power, you know, whatever. We need to be able to stand on our two feet, maybe have our own currency, so that a white man on his own whim cannot devalue. One day we have a billion, next day we have 700,000, because that's what they do. They devalue money when something's not going right to control things. So there's a lot to look at when we talk about black people being in a position where they can actually command control, and where a white cop could not even in their furthest thought think about pointing, not even pulling, but pointing a gun at a black man, because it would not be, it would shut down the whole United States, it would shut down the whole world. And we need to talk about what do we need to do to get there.
Well, Sherry, until we can keep chipping away, and you brought this point, you said that, you know, with Jay-Z and Rihanna, and white people are behind, you know, the sponsorships and stuff. That's not all necessarily true. If you take a look at T.I. out of the South, and you also take a look at the same Jay-Z. Jay-Z is an empire of his own. He doesn't need the white man to prop him up. That's why he got out of a lot of the companies, the recording companies that he was in, and set up his own corporation. So he answers to no one but himself.
Which corporation
is that?
So it's
the same thing. What's the name? Oh, gosh. For example.
The one?
Yes, Jizzy has his Rock? Oh gosh.
Oh, you talking about Rock Nation? Rock Nation.
Okay, he has Rock Nation. JC also owns part of the Nets. He was the one responsible for getting the arena downtown Brooklyn.
So you're saying that the white man had absolutely nothing to do with that?
No, because like Jay-Z. Okay, for example, for Jay-Z realized what was happening. All right, he didn't do like the guy. The guy that was married to Aaliyah. I try not to get into the entertainment thing, but the guy that was married to Aaliyah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He had his own company.
Yeah. Right.
And he lost all of his money. Then you have people like Russell Simmons and his brother. There are black folks out there. But again, we are divided. How are we divided? We are like crabs in a barrel or in a bucket. Because someone gets to the top, we try to pull that person down.
Why would you say that someone gets to the top and you try to pull that person down? When someone gets to the top, they need people to get them to the top. You're not doing this by yourself. People need people to get where they're going. And if he and his wife combination are billionaires, let's say they're billionaires, and you are saying that he's at the top, if he is at the top, that means he should have been pulling, instead of thinking about crabs in the barrel pulling him down, he should have been pulling people up with him to the point that there should be no talk about barrels pulling him down. That's number one. And number two, we know that he employs a lot of white people, and we know also that one of his companies are losing millions of dollars, and he's not doing as well as you may think he is, but aside from that, he's very wealthy. Aside from that, I'm happy that he's happy that he has the money and that I hope he makes a lot of money. But I cannot say with all honesty, and I don't know everyone he knows, but we do know that he is hanging out with billionaires. You know, billionaires. It has to be they have found favor in Jay-Z. They like him. They invite him around. You're seeing Jay-Z have his hands around. What's this guy's name again? Buffett? Warren Buffett?
When you could be
rubbing shoulders with Warren Buffett, you know that you found favor in him. He found favor in you. So there's something going on. I don't know how it happened or when it happened, but he's chosen. Jay-Z has been chosen.
I may be wrong. Jay-Z is a smart individual who, came out of a very horrible, you know, not the greatest upbringing. He came out of Marcy Projects. He was, you know, slinging dope on the corner. He realized what was going to happen eventually if he didn't get off the corner. So he decided to make his money clean. And he did. You know, he made a step in front. He climbed up the ladder. He knows how to invest his money. He's not a puppet. No one can pull his strings. And I'll give you another example. We talk about all of this. One of the richest rappers back in the day was, this Miller guy from the South, from Louisiana. And now he's totally broke. Okay, but look at Birdman. Look at Birdman. When I talk about black people pulling each other down, look at Birdman. What's he's going through now with Lil Wayne? That's why Wayne refused to write anymore.
That was not an issue. We know that there are people who are going to make it. Like I said, even during slavery, there were supposedly rich black people. But my point is, we are no further along. We should have been.
And we can't be. We cannot be any further along because we are too divided. Here's what I'm saying to you. Let's get this point. Bunch of Hasidic Jews will sit. There's a bunch of Hasidic Jews, say in Williamsburg, right? in Williamsburg. It's a bunch of Hasidic Jews who would have come from Israel with no money. They will all go to the temple on Friday evenings and Saturday evenings. They will then go to a coffee shop and they will sit around and they will say, okay, I have $500. How much do you have? There are 15 of them. And they will all say exactly how much money they have. They'll then say, okay, there are these two buildings on Lee Avenue for sale. I am not sure that we're going to get this, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to try. And they will go down to the court when that building is going to be auctioned, because they've all now pulled their money together, and they will buy that building. Do you think us of black folk will do that? No. First they say, well, why should I put in my $10,000 when he only put it in $100? Why he only put it in $50? We are divided.
Yeah.
We've got to come together. So here's what happened. Those Jews go and they buy that building this week. Okay? They start collecting rents. Right? The rents that they collect, they're not running to the liquor store. They're not buying the most expensive clothes. Yes, they walk like the garments need washing. They don't care about that.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that that's the way you should go, but they're not going for the Jordans. They're not going for the Bill Blass. They're not going for the red bottom shoes. They're not going for the Louis Vuitton bags. The next week, those same 15 will get around together. Well, you know what? There's another building for sale. Let's go after that one. Why is it that us as black folk can't do the same thing? Because we're watching what the other does. Oh, he got too much money. Why am I going to go put my money with his? They never give anyone the chance to elevate them.
So we see one section getting along and doing things, and we see us not getting along, like you call them crabs in the barrel. Where have the parenting gone? What has gone wrong?
What has gone wrong is that we have lost our moral. We have lost our value. We stand for nothing. All we do is chat. The things that should be interesting to us, it's not interesting to us at all. We are worried about what the other person is doing while instead of concentrating on us. We in the homes, we need to start instilling in our kids values. We need to stop exploiting our kids. We need to stop seeing our kids as milking cows. We as parents need to stop saying, well, I'm going to work and send my child to school, and when my child get out, they're going to work and take care of me. That's not the way it is. Kids did not ask to be born. You're supposed to raise them. You're supposed to instill in them. You're supposed to be laying that foundation. Hey, always aspire to be greater than I am.
So
it doesn't mean that you have
to. Let's get back to Barbados and our thought process. It's the last 5 minutes, and talk about the kids that you see on the minivans. Behaving poorly, and if they're not on the minivans, I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of being on a bus and standing by a bus stop once school is out. But all of them cursing, the girls up unzipping their skirts and pulling their shirt down, but they're showing their underwear. They're actually undressing in public. And that's something that I saw from back in my time when, you know, people just pull up their skirt and pull it down and pull things together and then fix it back up. Where nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. How could that be possible that we are living in a world that is change? Change is the only constant, but yet we see nothing changing. We go to Barbados, and it's the same thing. And if it's the same thing, that means there's a standstill. That means that it's regressing.
Yes, it is. And Sherry, this is what I said. It's been going downhill with these school kids from back in the late 80s, again, 1992. I remember I was home in Barbados, and at that time they were saying it was this PC Brooms and my Ruru, who you talking to? And all the hell you can hear the school children is talk, but don't touch me. Talk, but don't touch me.
Mm-hmm.
People were laughing. They didn't realize where it was going. You know, they didn't realize where it was going. It's right there before their face, and they can't see. While you should have been, taking that song as an example and uplifting yourself, you're taking it as a joke while it was really what's going on. It was an everyday life for these school girls, these school boys. I mean, you get in the ZR vans, they want to hear Shabba Ranks. They want to hear Vibes Cartel. They want to hear, you know, the lewdest music. You know, no parental guidance.
Yeah.
No parental guidance at all. You know, and we can sit and we can point fingers, but we, as the elders, have to take responsibility for what's going on. Do you think that I would know that any one of my kids are doing drugs and I'm going to condone it? Hell no. I tell them all the time, I'm not going to wait for the police to shoot you. I brought you into this world. I'm going to take you out of this world.
So as the parents, from what we're hearing, is if the parents are advising their kids to get what they can get. For instance, if a girl can bring home maybe $150 every couple nights or whatever because the house needs the support, there's no man, how do you speak to a parent to try to even convince her that what she's doing is wrong when it's a matter of life and death?
It's not a matter of life and death. This is where the adults have to take responsibility. Why would you go have seven kids by seven different men when you know that you cannot take care of them? If you cannot take care of one, how are you going to take care of two? So why then should you expect your girl children or your boy children to go out there and support the household? What were you thinking as a parent? What were you thinking of? The word is parent. Parent. You are the adult. You're the ones making the decision. You, something in your head at some point in time, after you've had maybe two children and there's no father in the house, that something tells you, hey, these are my kids. I love them. I can't let them starve. So here, no more man in the house with my kids. I'm going to go there. I don't care if I have to put on grass. I don't care if my kids are not going to suffer. They're going to go to school. They're going to get an education. They're going to aspire to be greater and not walk in my shoes. What the hell is wrong that you can't get plastic bottles and, I mean, plastic buckets, pick up, you know, things from around and plant around your home? You're going to tell me,
right?
No, don't tell me about poverty. Don't tell me about poverty. There are lime trees growing in Barbados wild. Pick limes and make lime tea.
Yeah.
Be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
There's breadfruit falling all over. You shouldn't be. Poverty is not an excuse. It's a lame freaking excuse for lazy ass people
who want to do nothing with their life. Yeah, this question is, you know, hypothetical, but do you think that if something really bad were to go wrong on this earth, that it would be very easy for them to round up and enslave black people again?
I'm quite sure it would happen. We're seeing it here with Donald Trump. It would be happening. And until
if that would happen, they would have a vested interest not to have Black Lives Matter because they don't want to get too attached to us as being human. So you can see that standoffish, no matter what they do, no matter what they allow, there's always that room there just in case we need slaves. It will come from section. From that sector of the community.
Of course, and don't you think they're thinking of it? You're thinking of it. That's why we need listeners.
Yeah, we run out of time. We have to come back again. Thank you, Pat. Thank you.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this episode of Naked Departure Talk Show. If you would like to appear as a guest on the show, simply email our producer at nakeddeparture@gmail.com or message us directly from the show page. We would love to have you as a guest on the show. You can listen to a repeat of this episode at any time in the future. Simply go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/nakeddeparture and follow the links. I would like to thank our guests, the discussion panel, and the production team. I would also like to thank the listeners for tuning in and giving us an audience. We will now leave you with the sweet jazzy sounds of Trade Wind by Alan Trotman and Jonathan Butler. Thank you.